So we can all chant this together, even if you can't read Devanagari. I will say each word, you say it after me. That way you can figure out what the diacritics mean. Like the S with the marks over it, the SH and so on. Anyway, it will become clear. So we'll do each word like that responsibly, and then each line. And then we'll, of course, word for word, running translation, Prabhupada's purport, discuss this important text by Krishna. So, 1862. Tam
eva
saranam
gacchā
sarva
avena
bharata tattva sādā
puram
Rapsyasi Shastatam Tameva Sharanam Gatscha Sarvabhavi Nabharata Aprasadat Puram Shantin Shantam Deva Sharanam Gatcha Sarvabhavina Bharata Tatprasadat Puram Shantim Dhanam Rakshasi Shasvatam
Tvameva Sharanam Gatcha Prasadat Param Shantim Sthanam Prapyasi Sarvatam
Tamevam Saranam Gatcha Sarvabhavena Bharata Prakarat Param Kantim Manam Prapshasi Saswatam
Amen. Surrender unto Him utterly. By His grace you will attain transcendental peace and the supreme and eternal abode. Srila Prabhupada's report. A living entity should therefore surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is situated in everyone's heart, and that will relieve him from all kinds of miseries of this material existence. By such surrender, not only will one be released from all miseries in this life, but at the end he will reach the Supreme God. The transcendental world is described in the Vedic literature. Prabhupada here quotes Rig Veda 1:22:20 as Tad Vishnu Paramam Padam. Tad Vishnu Paramam Padam means that the highest abode of Vishnu. Since all of creation is the kingdom of God, everything material is actually spiritual. But Paramam Padam specifically refers to the eternal abode, which is called the spiritual sky or Vaikuntha. In the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, it is stated, Sarvasya Chaham Kriti Sannivishtaha. The Lord is seated in everyone's heart. So this recommendation that one should surrender unto the super soul sitting within means that one should surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Krishna has already been accepted by Arjuna as the Supreme. He was accepted in the 10th chapter as Param Brahma, Param Naam. Arjuna has accepted Krishna, Param Brahma. Arjuna says, you are the Param Brahma, the Supreme Brahma, Brahman, and Param Dhamma, and the Supreme Abode or Resting Place. That's that, 10th chapter, verse 12. Arjuna has accepted Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the supreme abode of all living entities, not only because of his personal experience, but also because of the evidence of great authorities like Narada, Vasudeva, Devaraj, and Vyasa. Ma Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Vishimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Sarasate Deve Gauravarita Charine Vivishesha Sunyavarita Chachade Satavane Oma Gyanam Timodam Dasya Garanjana Sulakaya Chatsur Unnivittam Jengi Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha In the previous verse, these two verses are close together. Krishna says, Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam, the Lord of all living entities, Hridesha Arjuna Tishti, is situated in the heart. Arjuna. Hridesha. His place is in the heart. And what does he do from there? Brahmayan Sarvabhutana. Sarvabhutana. He's directing the wanderings of all the living entities. Yantra Arudhani Mayaya. Who are under the spell of material nature are fixed as though on a machine, a yantra. A yantra means a device or a machine. Just like a child on a merry-go-round, going around in a machine. So this body is a machine, but like a horse or on a merry-go-round, this body is not moving independently. It's actually part of the vast machinery of material nature. So he's saying there, the Lord is directing from within the heart. There are two of us in this body. There's me and there's Krishna, the super soul. Unfortunately, I don't see him. Nevertheless, he is doing his thing. And he's guiding and directing. Prabhupada quotes in today's verse, Sarva. Sarvasya chaham hridi sanirvisto matasmitrayanamakhohanam cha. I am situated in the heart of everyone, and from me comes remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. Apohanam. When we remember Krishna, Krishna causes that remembrance. When we forget Krishna, Krishna actually makes us forget. It's our decision. Do I want to remember Krishna or do I want to forget Krishna? That's actually my decision. Do I want to turn toward Krishna or do I want to turn away from Krishna? I have some freedom. And when I want to turn toward Krishna, then Krishna pulls out all the stops and makes all plans to help me. Similarly, when I want to turn away, he gives me all facility to forget. We cannot forget Krishna without the help of Krishna. My Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, once remarked, he said, there are so many arguments that people are making to say that there is no God, everything happened by chance, everything comes from nothing. People are convinced by these arguments because sometimes very brilliant people make them. So Prabhupada said, where do these arguments come from? He said, they come from Krishna. If they want to forget Krishna, he gives them all intelligence to forget. This is function of super soul. And similarly, when we want to remember Krishna, he gives us all intelligence to remember. But here, forgetting or remembering, we are still under the control of Krishna. Forgetting Krishna, then we are on this body, this machine. And although we think I'm doing whatever I feel like doing, actually, I'm under the control of material nature. Maya, the last verse says, and this machine is running under the control of material nature. And so I am controlled by lust and greed and anger, revenge, desire, so on. These things are controlling everybody. even big people like the whole Bush administration is under the control of the material nature. Any administration, actually. Some just more conspicuous than others. So this is what's happening. People are, they say they're free, but they're being controlled. So when Krishna says, surrender to me, actually he's not, in one sense, asking us to do something that we aren't doing in any case. Right now, under the control of material nature, we are not independent of God, but we are being conducted by the material energy, so we are still under his control. But it's indirect. When we surrender to him, we become released from the control of the material energy. And now are controlled by Krishna directly and favorably, voluntarily surrendering. And then what happens? Anyway, he's telling us here, he's telling Arjuna, when he says, surrender to him utterly, he's talking about the super soul situated in the heart. But as Prabhupada points out, that Krishna, that super soul is one feature of Krishna, localized feature of Krishna. And so we are surrendering to Krishna. And he uses this word, sarva-bhavena, with all your being, body, mind, word, soul, everything, completely, utterly, surrender to him utterly, Prabhupada says, in all respects, in every case. And then he says, by his grace, tat-prasada, by the Lord's grace, prachasi, you will attain, first of all, param shantim, transcendent peace, the highest peace. Whenever it says peace, it means, in this context, they mean freedom from all suffering of material existence. And so this param shantim, param shantim and sthanam shastvatam, and the eternal abode. By this surrender, release from the clutches of material nature. Because now in the material world there is no peace. What has happened is that everybody in the material world is suffering from a trauma. I think there's a lot of psychology going around tracing back childhood traumas or other traumas. And anytime there's, you know, a hurricane or some disaster like that, 9/11, they're always coming and treating people afterwards for post-traumatic stress disorder. And then there's many psychologists who think that everyone's unhappy because there's suppressed trauma in childhood or something like that. And there was one psychologist, Otto Runk, made a whole thing about birth trauma. Everyone's suffering from birth trauma. But the real trauma is that we have come into the material world. We are eternal beings, and we have not ceased to be eternal beings, but we have taken on these bodies of matter and identified with them. This is the potency of Maya, which first we are thrown into Maya. There's a throwing potency. We get thrown in, and then we get covered. We take on this body, blood, mucus, bile, so on, and we identify with the body. This is me. And there's the trauma. Because we are traumatized by the loss of three things: sat, chit, and ananda. Sat means that we are spiritual. These are the qualities of spirit. Sat means unending existence, no beginning, no end. This is our nature. And because we are spiritual beings, we expect that. Because you want that. You think it should be like that. And yet, because we identify with this body, we are confined in time. The body is born, the body dies. And everything keeps changing all the time in this world. Because this world is described as the opposite of Sat Chit Ananda. It's called Asat, Achit, and Nirananda. Temporary. Achit, unconscious, full of ignorance. Nirananda, there's no bliss. So we have lost Sat. And we have lost Chit. We need to figure out what's going on. We need to find out what's going to happen next. We need to know where the threats are coming from. We need to know what the opportunities are. We need to know what the dangers are. We need to figure out how we're going to make our way through this world. And mostly it's unknown. And we work very hard and may make a little progress in knowledge, but we discover there's so much more we don't know. So everything remains quite mysterious. Yet we have this desire to know. And of course we have the desire for happiness. And yet it's so hard to get and so hard to hold on to. It's very elusive. So we've lost those things. We're shocked. We're traumatized by the loss of Sat Chit and Ananda. Because what we try to do is we try to get those things in this world where they are not available. Everybody tries to find some satisfactory position in the world to make arrangements for happiness. Those arrangements keep breaking down. Every time some arrangement breaks down, we suffer. We lament. We cry. If you say, why are you crying? Well, because my baby left me. So I'm saying one thing or another. You go to live in Heartbreak Hotel. Why are you upset? Because I wanted it to keep on going. I wanted the relationship to last. I wanted my pleasure to go on. How long did you want it to go on for? And say, well, you know, forever if I can get it. But our actual fact is what we're looking for is some happiness that just goes on without any end. That's what we really want. And yet we're looking for it in a place where it's temporary. This is the incompatible situation of spirit souls in the material world. This is our situation. So why did this happen? Why are we under the rule of Maya, identifying with the not-self, the material body as the self? Well, because there's two kind of strands in spiritual traditions. One is to say that our problem is ignorance, that we have lost knowledge, and now we are ignorant, and we need to gain knowledge. But that's the impersonal idea. The personal traditions say, well, actually this ignorance has a cause. And that is that we have broken a relationship. That we have a relationship with the Supreme Lord, with Krishna. And there's been this broken relationship. This is described in personalistic terms. Christians have the same idea because they believe in a personal God. This broken relationship is called sin. And then people, because there's a trust that's been broken. One has obligations or duties or relationships. See, usually when a relationship fails in this world, both sides are its fault. That's what the marriage counselors tell you, or the mediators, or the... both sides are at fault. But when it comes to the relationship with Krishna, I have to say, you know, it's all on my side. You didn't do anything wrong. And so sometimes we feel guilty. People like to get away from that guilt, and therefore they like sometimes to go to Buddhism or things like that. Or in first, this tradition, because to say ignorance is a little more neutral sounding. But we want to get to the root cause of this problem, and this is why Krishna is suggesting here this course, that we are repairing the relationship. We are restoring the relationship. Therefore he says, surrender to him utterly. Because our real identity, our real nature, our actual individuality is in relationship with Krishna. We are constituted as Krishna's servants. And that's essentially who we are. When we want to be something else, we would like to play the part of being the Lord ourselves or the Master, well then Krishna has to give us this costume by which we can pretend for a while that we're the top dog or whatever, the greatest, the highest, supermost being. So Krishna consciousness comes to the point of rectifying this relationship. We understand who Krishna is. We understand his actual characteristics. You'd be surprised how many people, especially in the West, I don't see it so much in India, it'll come soon, but in the West anyway, people have a lot of anger toward God. And because this world is a place of suffering, they're here, God must be doing this to me. They blame him for this, resentful. And people have just this terrible idea of God. I meet somebody who says, I don't believe in God, and I ask them to describe to me the God they don't believe in. I can always say, well, I don't believe in that God either. Let me tell you about Krishna. I just have no idea of who we are dealing with. We have broken a relationship, and then we want to blame God for it. We have to say, no, it's actually my fault. Please take me back. I'm sorry I've done this. I've come to this material world. I've tried to be separate from you. There's no happiness separate from you. So that's what this idea here is. He says here, you should sharanam gacha. Later on, the same words, maam ekam sharanam gacha. Tam eva, exclusively. Krishna says, you should take shelter of me or surrender to me exclusively and entirely. And then we will be released from all the consequences of the breaking this relationship. These are actually what Krishna is describing in some ways are side effects. This param shantim, that will happen automatically. All freedom from the pains of material existence. Because actually the pains of material existence are really an illusion we've imposed upon ourselves. The soul itself is eternal, doesn't suffer. But by this illusory superimposition, by which we think of the material body and mind as the self, then we suffer. As soon as we realize who we are, it's just like waking up from a bad dream. Then there's no suffering. This is what Krishna is saying. Once we turn toward Krishna, then we make even one little step to Krishna. Krishna takes 10 steps to us. he starts to do everything to facilitate our serenity. Because for most of us, it's a gradual process. We are in the habit now of trying to enjoy in this material world. And habits are hard to get rid of. Bad habits are hard to get rid of. There are so many things we think we need for our happiness, which we don't need, in fact, are just the opposite. It's just like a cigarette. It is a well-known fact that cigarettes are highly addictive. They don't really give you any pleasure. They taste terrible. And they kill you. Yet still, people are getting addicted to them, in spite of all the warnings and everything. When I was a child, I still remember television commercials with doctors, you know, trying to get you to smoke a cigarette. But that's actually how the illusory energy works. You think it's something good, when actually it's something fatal. And then you decide, oh, I want to become free from this, but it turns out to be very difficult. But it makes you miserable and it kills you. So you should just think of the whole material world as one big cigarette. You know, we need to get free from. So naturally, we are addicted in this way to all kinds of sense gratification. If we are sincere and serious about it, then Krishna actually makes it possible for us. Even I don't have the willpower if I'm sincere, and Krishna gives it to me. He facilitates it. He says earlier in the Bhagavad Gita, in the ninth chapter, Yoga Kshema Aham Yaham. Aham Yaham. To these people, I bear it personally. Their yoga, I'm giving them whatever they need, and shema, protecting them to possess what they have. In the spiritual realm, Krishna is helping us. That is why it's possible, with the help of Krishna. I want to read a little bit that when Krishna uses this word, surrender, or take shelter of him. Sharana, sharanam vaja, sharanam gacha. Here is a verse which is talking about these things. Sharanagati, the process of surrender. Sharanagati. Going to surrender or take shelter of Krishna. This is a verse from the Hari Bhakti Vilas. And it says that this Sharanagati Shabdida has six parts. So just to give you a clear idea, when we talk about surrendering to Krishna, it has these six elements or aspects. Anukuryasya sankalpa. First thing is anukuryasya sankalpa, to accept everything that is favorable to service to Krishna. What does Krishna want? And so I should take on the favorable things. He would like me to chant the holy name. Like to associate with devotees, like to eat Krishna prasad. Just accept those things that are favorable. That's the first thing. And then pratikulyasya bharjanam. Then after one gets a little taste of those things, then the next thing is possible, to reject everything that's unfavorable. Maybe I'm doing some things that are not actually helpful for my spiritual advancement. But if I'm surrendering to Krishna, I'll accept the favorable things and then gradually reject the unfavorable things. Cancel my subscription to Playboy magazine or whatever it may be. That's not so favorable. Then the next day, Rakshashati Ti Vishvasa. One should have the strong conviction. Vishvasa. And there's a strong conviction. Rakshashati, he will protect me. I will be under the protection of Krishna. If you have to surrender to Krishna, then you have to be confident that the protection of Krishna will be there. Now, the experience that one has is that we take put a little trust in Krishna, put some confidence in Krishna, and we find out who protects us. We do something, we go out on a limb a little bit for Krishna's service, we do something a little more for Krishna's service, and we find out that he takes care of us. This is everyone's experience. So you can actually build this up. Actually, no one else can give us protection. Only ultimately, it's Krishna. So one has to have this kind of confidence or trust or faith in Krishna. This is another element of Sri. That the strong conviction, he will protect me. The next element, Gopritve Varanam. Accepting Krishna as a Gopita, as being a guardian, like a father, like a husband, a master, a maintainer. I'm being protected by Krishna. Krishna is my only protector. So this strongly taking shelter of Krishna. And then finally, the last element, Atma Nikshepa Karapanye. Well, two things. Atma Nikshepa, full self-surrender. This means, as this verse is saying, remembering always that my activities and desires are never independent. The devotee is completely dependent on Krishna, and he acts and thinks as Krishna desires. And then finally, Karpanye, the devotee is meek and humble. Always being Krishna conscious, remembering how great Krishna is, surely. And that I am just a little, small, tiny particle of dust at his feet, and I know my position. If I only can become proud if I forget Krishna, and if I remember Krishna, then I will be humble. So these are the six elements. I'll read them again. Here's the translation of this verse. The six divisions of surrender are the acceptance of those things favorable to devotional service, the rejection of unfavorable things, the conviction that Krishna will give protection, the acceptance of the Lord as one's guardian or master, full self-surrender, and humility. These are the characteristics of surrender to Krishna. So this is, and then as that surrender to Krishna happens, by the way, this is a question of experience. As we become more and more dependent on Krishna, Krishna more and more allows us to see how he is taking care of him. And this way, you see, it's building up a relationship. Krishna says, as they surrender to me or take shelter of me, at the same time, I reciprocate with them. So there's a relationship. As we go to Krishna, Krishna goes to us. We put our love in Krishna, and Krishna's love for us becomes more and more visible to us, because there is a relationship. And it's a relationship that's just like when you have a relationship with somebody else, you know it, you experience it, there's an interchange of feelings. The simile Krishna is real. In fact, the relationship with Krishna is more strong, more powerful, more evident than any relationship we have on the basis of the material body, because those are, after all, necessarily temporary, because the body is temporary. And the relationship is only based on this. But when we have the relationship with Krishna, then that is actually real, it's solid, it's on the platform of the soul. And then when we have relationships with other living entities, with Krishna at the center, those relationships also become solid, authentic, and also eternal. Because everyone in association with Krishna, we are eternal associates, taking shelter of Krishna. So Arjuna has this personal experience. This Bhagavad Gita records the experience of Arjuna in relationship with Krishna. Arjuna has listed other people when he has this realization of who Krishna is and what the relationship is. He mentions Narada, Sita, Devala, Vyas. This is also their experience. We should go by the experience of these great souls. And following in their footsteps, we also have the same realized knowledge. This is what is really worth having. Just like in any field of knowledge, there's usually some great person, some scientist or some explorer who has done something. And we, because they're authorities, we accept what they have done. And they set a path, you do the same thing, you'll have the same experience. So this is the way it is also in the spiritual realm. It's nothing extraordinary that we should accept certain authorities and follow in their footsteps. That's the way it's always done. Just that people don't know anymore that there are such a thing as spiritual authorities. Everyone's become very, very confused about this matter. And don't know how to do it or which way to go. Naturally, there are a variety of paths of this thing because people are varied in their natures and their habits and their customs. But there is at the basis of everything a genuine science of spiritual life. There's tattva vijnana. There's actual experience knowledge of reality. Unlike, say, in quantum physics, there's no one who's ultimately disqualified. At least in this age, because of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, everyone, and actually because the mercy of the Lord is working, if I want to become a physicist, a quantum physicist, And my IQ score is, you know, somewhere like 98. Nobody is going to give me the extra IQ points necessary to become a quantum physicist. I'm just not qualified. But as far as the spiritual IQ, the Dami Buddha Yoga, Krishna says, I give it to them. I give them the brains, the intelligence by which they can come to me. So it's just ultimately a questioning of our understanding our position in this material world, and saying to Krishna, read this Bhagavad Gita, listen to it. Here Krishna's putting, you know, everything on the table. Okay, I understand the situation. Now I am turning towards you. I realize my incapacity. I realize that even though I'm turning towards you, one part of me, it's actually not part of us, it's our mind, is afraid and reluctant and doubtful. Please help me in spite of all that. we find ourselves in this strange position. At one point in my life, it was actually before I encountered devotees, and you know, I studied philosophy in a university, University of Pennsylvania, and as a result of all that, I didn't believe in God. But somehow or other, I wasn't happy that way. And so I began trying to find out what the truth was, and so on. I couldn't stop looking, trying to understand the basis of everything. And at one point, a few years later, I found myself in this strange position that I was praying to a God I didn't believe in to give me faith. Believe it. So that's okay, you can do that. Because the Lord is in your heart, and He knows how sincere you are. And if we turn toward Him, not knowing, even knowing which direction to turn, He'll take us the next step, the next step, the next step. So we can actually follow this instruction. Tameva saranam gacha sarabhubhadena bharata surrender to Him. Whatever. Thank you. Any questions or comments? Huh? Yes?
I was thinking, you started a lecture about how, the big theological dilemma is, whether it's, faith or works. And it seems like, in one sense, that, everything is just kind of up to Krishna. But at the same time, it's we have to make that choice. Mm-hmm. And, how much of each is needed? And, in one sense, we're in control of everything, our choices. But in one sense, we're not in control of anything at all.
Yeah, correct. What's ours is our decision to turn toward Krishna. When we say we have some minute free will, free will means that I do something and I'm the originator of that. Krishna doesn't make it happen. He stands back and says, this is your sphere. You want to come toward me? You can't. You want to go against me? Away from me? You can't. That's your decision. I don't make it for you. But because we are still under Krishna's control, when I want to go toward Him, He has to give me the help and to facilitate it. When I want to go away from Him, He also has to give me the help. So, in one sense, I'm controlled by Krishna, but my degree of freedom is how do I want to be controlled? Is it by the cruel mercies of the illusory energy, or by the tender mercies of the spiritual energy? So I have to make, and when I want to turn toward Krishna, it has to be sincere. Because people say all the time, I want to be a servant of God, but then there's no in their behavior to indicate that they're serious, so there has to be some evidence that we are serious. If we're really serious, at least we will struggle. Even if we're not so successful, we will keep on struggling. So action means just insofar as the action is some proof of sincerity. But otherwise, we are one way or the other under Krishna's control. How he wants to control us, that He lets us decide. That's my understanding. Anything else? Thank you. Srila Prabhupada.
Thank you. And you again mentioned Luther, your wisdom, wisdom of people.